Good afternoon again. My name is H.C. Shin. I'm heading up 3M's international operations. I'll share with you our business, exciting business, I have to say. A lot happening. I'll talk about some landscape, different parts of the world. I'm going to spend some time on 3M's international business model and also some key growth strategies based upon our corporate strategies laid out by Inga Tulin. And I'm going to show you some examples of how these strategies are executed in different parts of the world. So here's our kind of a universe that I see. We have a sizable business, $20 billion in sales, very profitable, 23% in operating income. We are operating at 73 subsidiaries. We think this global footprint and capability to execute locally, that's a unique 3M comparative advantage, and thus is a growth platform for 3M. We have laboratories in 35 different countries. We keep adding our technical capability in different parts of the world. In fact, right now, we have over 4,000 people in R&D headcount. Recently, you might have seen the announcement, we separated the Greater China area from Asia Pacific to create kind of a standalone area to bring more focus to this strategically very important region of the world. 3M is very recognized for its brand and reputation everywhere you go in the world. We are recognized as one of the greatest places to work. Number one, by the way, in Austria. Number four in Brazil. We are ranked as the best place to work in the entire West Europe. We are also very recognized for our social environmental responsibility. 3M has been traditionally a strong advocate for sustainability in virtually every country we operate. We have been selected the best innovator in the whole country of Brazil for the last two consecutive years. So here is our five-year view of the world, different parts of the world. Despite some short-term slowness in China, we still think China is the biggest opportunity for 3M. We like the Japan as it continues to gain momentum. We see some pretty robust local currency growth coming from Japan. We think India is a long-term opportunity despite some short-term issues they have as a country. So we adjust our investment accordingly. A lot of our colleagues talked about Southeast Asia region for the right reason. We also think Southeast Asia region is one of the brightest growth opportunities for 3M. We liked West Europe being more stabilized. In fact, we see our organic volume growing, actually accelerating in West Europe for the last three, four quarters. Latin America, we have a very strong business. It remains a very attractive continent for 3M. There are some pockets of areas like Venezuela, Argentina. Recently, Mexico is going through some kind of a tough time. But you know, by and large, natural resource-based economy, strong middle class people, consumers, we like this continent. We'll continue to invest in Latin America. When it comes to Central East Europe and Middle East Africa, we are kind of picking and choosing different areas to invest. Obviously, countries like Turkey, Russia, continuing to be a good opportunity. And I'm going to talk about 3M's approach around 3M Africa. It is actually becoming a quite sizable and pretty exciting growth opportunity for 3M. So we'll become about $26 billion in size by 2017. You know, obviously, from a geography mix point of view, yes, there are some good Asia business, Greater China, West Europe, but I'd like to point your attention to our business in Latin America and Canada, actually representing 19% of our sales. So this well-balanced geography mix actually is what we are proud of. If you look at 5 years down the road, from a growth opportunity point of view, Greater China and Latin America, if you combine those two, they will generate $3.2 billion worth of growth opportunities. So if you think about $6 billion additional growth from 3M International, Greater China and Latin America represents more than half of our five-year growth coming from those two areas. However, Southeast Asia region will generate $600 million of growth, and Middle East and Africa are $400 million. So those are the areas that we see very good growth opportunity. So let's talk about our business model for expansion. Actually, our chairman showed this kind of a 3M's business model, the fact that we have products and solutions that can cater to virtually every stage of economic development, whether it's developing or developed, infrastructure manufacturing, all the way down to healthcare and consumer. So keep this model in mind when you look at the next chart. So how they use this model actually is the way that we convert our local megatrend to business opportunity. So there are many local megatrends that are shaping the world today. I'll just take one example. Urbanization is clearly the megatrend everywhere you go. The creation or emergence of very large cities like Mumbai, Ho Chi Minh City, Shanghai, or Guangzhou, just to name a few. One of the issues that these megacities are dealing with is the traffic congestion, obviously, and the major air pollution. In fact, the air quality in Beijing and now Shanghai is getting the fair share of air pollution, and virtually every city, particularly in Asia Pacific, is becoming a major health problem. It's not just air pollution, it's a health hazard for the public living in that area. So 3M recognized this megatrend. 3M obviously tapped into the opportunity. In China, we developed locally the respirator to protect human health in China using local raw material that we sourced in China and priced locally so that we can compete in the open market. And we are selling this respirator almost ubiquitously. We are selling in drugstore, we are selling in supermarket, we are also selling it over the web in Alibaba.com. So that's basically how 3M business model is in play in every part of the world. If you look at 5 years down the road, we think about half of our business is still coming from developing economy, obviously growing faster. But the other half, almost 60%, will still come from developed economy. So for us, it's not just either or, it's an and. We should win in developing market. We should win in developed market. That's why we have a distinct playbook that can work both in developing and developed economy. So we have been kind of honing on this model for years. So it's becoming literally a playbook in any certain geography. In developing market, typically we localize our supply chain and R&D capability. We expand our market coverage, sales coverage. We also continue to invest in brand in developing market. This is very, very important that 3M invest in brand in developing economy and then the ride the wave of economic development of the particular country has been one of the cornerstones of our strategy. In developed market, we clearly have many opportunities like global key account strategy or disruptive, truly disruptive technology innovation or the healthcare opportunity in developed market. So we have those distinct strategy both in developing and developed market. I'll just take one example, developed market. In fact, two examples, Europe and Japan. We clearly think Europe is an opportunity. In fact, growth opportunity. If you look at Europe in general, it's a big market for 3M. It still represents 25% of global GDP, lots and lots of great customer base, highly educated consumer base. So while Europe was going through some slow period, 3M again executed a distinct slow growth market strategy that we think is our playbook. How to do it? Ruthless prioritization. We cannot hire people, so we move people around from strategic review to, say, heartland divisions or push forward. We moved 500 people last year without increasing a single headcount in West Europe from not so performing business to push forward division. Second strategy is to focus on uniquely European innovation, like smart city, like smart grid, or sustainability. There are lots of areas that are growing double digit in West Europe. We just don't look for those hard enough. That's what we found out. So those are the ones that we are doing in terms of productivity and growth. At the same time, I'll show you the chart. We did a major revamping in our supply chain strategy in West Europe. We combined all of our supply chain into Switzerland to create operational and non-operational efficiency. I'm going to dwell on a little bit more in detail relative to that strategy. So our organic growth in West Europe actually is accelerating. In Q3, we saw positive 2.8%. This momentum will continue. I see no reason why this momentum will increase, not decrease, going forward, including this quarter, by the way. Japan, we already have a sizable business, over $2 billion, very profitable business. We have a great capability in manufacturing and research and development. If you look at post-tsunami Japan as an economic entity, it provides some very unique opportunity for company like 3M. If you look at the reconstruction effort, recovery effort in northeast regions of Japan, which was affected by tsunami, there are a lot of opportunities that we are working with local authority. If you look at energy-saving products that we have, it's not a product, it's a solution that we have a whole slew of energy-saving solutions. It's a great opportunity for Japan, where about 30% of national grid, what power generation was basically stopped because of the nuclear power plant, 50 of them, all stopped, by the way. That's about 30% of power generation capacity in Japan. Anything related to energy savings is a great opportunity for us. Also, aging population, aging society in Japan provides us a very unique healthcare type opportunity. So we can grow in developed markets like Japan and West Europe. So I'm going to talk about our key strategy. Basically, we follow our corporate strategy. First one is prioritization. We have been doing this in international for a number of years. We strengthen heartland division. That's a must. We also take action on strategic review divisions. We move people around and we improve our profitability. Probably less known part of portfolio prioritization is how much we are focused on push forward divisions to grow it faster. In fact, we have a goal to grow push-forward divisions at least twice as fast as the rest of portfolio. So that is our goal in international. There are a number of push-forward divisions, but mostly these push-forward divisions are geared toward tapping into local opportunity. So more domestic type opportunity, like healthcare, domestic infrastructure, like a domestic retail, consumer type opportunity, domestic security, personal safety. There are lots of this kind of a uniquely domestic opportunity that we move a lot of resources to grow faster in this stable and growing and profitable domestic opportunity. That is our key strategy when it comes to portfolio prioritization. The other cornerstone of our strategy is to continue to improve our productivity and commercialization capability in international. Right now, we are running at 35% NPVI, or New Product Vitality Index. We have a goal to bring it up to 38% by 2017. Out of $26 billion in the year 2017, $10 billion will come from new products. The key to this is to generate local innovation. So not that we cannot rely on St. Paul anymore, but it is imperative that being a 65% of revenue, we need to bring local innovation. Not just innovation, but game-changing innovation. New to the world. Change the basis of competition. Type innovation is what we are looking for in every region of the world. For example, in West Europe, we developed in Europe, not in the United States, but in Europe, for European customers, biodegradable surgical drapes. Huge hit because that's what's needed in West Europe. In Asia Pacific, particularly in China, we developed multi-layer acoustic solutions to dramatically reduce the noise inside the vehicle for Chinese automotive OEMs. So this type of locally developed game-changing innovation will be the cornerstone of our R&D strategy in international going forward. We do that by continuing to invest. We will invest 6% to sales in R&D. There's the picture of recently opened our custom innovation center in India, and we continue to add this capability around the world. The other thing is we keep moving people around. Why don't we share the resources accordingly to continue to develop our capability? Another cornerstone of our strategy is what Inga showed already. This has to do about operationalizing our corporate strategy called regional self-sufficiency. Instead of going country by country when it comes to supply chain, by creating a regional critical mass, we can be a lot more effective and efficient. What do I mean by critical mass? There are many elements: engineering capability, manufacturing capability, sourcing. The entire spectrum of supply chain capability can be a lot better managed if we take a regional approach. So we have embarked on this journey for several years now. We have established three centers of excellence, as Inga pointed out, one in Switzerland, the next one in Singapore, next one in Panama City. Farthest along of three is actually our West Europe supply chain center of excellence. This is up and running. This is in operation already. So this is not just West Europe, it's actually EMEA, which stands for Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So entire European, Middle East, and African supply chain is managed out of one location, in this case, our Switzerland location. It connects 63 different plants around these vast geographical areas. We already moved, relocated, by the way, 230 people to be in operation. One of the key enablers to this is our ERP system. Without robust ERP system like SAP, which we have implemented in part of our operation here in Center of Excellence, we just cannot create this type of efficiency. So one thing I have to share with you is how powerful the ERP system is in implementing this regional self-sufficiency critical mass model. So it will enable significant savings in cost, working capital, and tax rate as well. So I'll show you several areas that we are operating and see how all these strategies are executed. First of all, China. We have a sizable operation in China. We have over $4 billion business in China. Now we have a plan to bring it up to somewhere between $5.5 to $6 billion in the next several years. We have R&D centers, we have customer centers, we have 7 customer centers in Greater China area. We have many plants, so we have a sizable presence already in China area. Now, our China plan calls for taking it to the next level. So we have 3 distinct strategies to make it happen. Number one, a lot of our China business has been relying somewhere on specification export type business, and we continue to focus on that at the same time. If you look at China as a country, especially after the 3rd plenum meeting, it's quite obvious that China is going more toward domestic-driven economy. In fact, it is a stated goal, right? So we are trying to tap into those domestic-type opportunity. So balance our strong specification business or export business with domestic. So focusing more on healthcare, retail, personal safety. That's our strategy number one. Strategy number two, we are very strong in eastern seaboard area and southern China that people call Pearl Harbor Delta area. We have major opportunity in west inland, particularly Sichuan, Shanxi area, and then northeast area. So we are investing a lot more sales presence in those two areas, and we are setting a branch. We are bringing more firepower, frankly, into those regions. That's our strategy number two. Strategy number three, we want China to be self-sufficient in their R&D capability. So we truly develop products like the one that I described, using local design, local raw material, locally priced, and compete head-on in open market in China. Still make money, by the way. So that is our strategy number three. With those three strategies, we think we have a detailed plan to take China up to $6 billion. This is not just plan, it's happening. So if you look at our R&D headcount, it used to run about 300. Now we beef it up to almost 700 people. About half of these R&D individuals in China carry either master degree or PhD. About 49% of our 700 people carry either master or PhD. It's no wonder that our NPBI is, in China is already running at 43%. So very, very innovative. We are so excited about our R&D capability in China going forward. Latin America, we have a very good business, a $3 billion business in Latin America, quite profitable, very strong brand awareness, brand recognition, great sales and marketing capability. One area that we really wanted to strengthen was technical area. So for the last 3-4 years, we are really strengthening and beefing up our technical capability in Latin America. We are investing in customer technical center. We are investing in R&D in countries like Brazil, Mexico, Chile, and Colombia. In fact, some of these are generic customer center, but we also invest in specific industry customer center. In fact, in northern Chile, the barren land of mining site called Antofagasta in northern Chile, we recently opened a mining customer technical center. These are specifically dedicated to the mining industry to cater to mining customers' need right there where mining is taking place. So that's another cornerstone of our strategy in Latin America is to continue to strengthen our technical capability in that area. We like Southeast Asia. A lot of foreign direct investment is basically flowing in. This area is becoming kind of a contract manufacturing capital of the world. A lot of companies who were thinking about China now is moving to areas like Vietnam, Bangladesh, Myanmar, just to name a few. We have a good business here, more than a billion business. We can double the business here in Southeast Asia region in the next few years. We identified manufacturing migration, natural resources like mining and oil and gas, as well as emerging middle class consumer as the three key growth driver. And we have a good presence already in this area. We'll make a little bit more investment. We'll add some more human capital capability. We see no reason why we cannot achieve $2 billion in this area. Last but not the least is our Middle East and Africa. Used to be a smaller business, but right now we have a $600 million business. We have a $1 billion goal by 2017. We formed four distinct teams. One team really taking care of Saudi Arabia. The other team, Gulf, 3M Gulf, and then separate team for South Africa. And recently, we formed 3M Africa. We are investing heavily in Africa. It's not a lot of people that we're investing. With about 20 people, we can accomplish a lot of projects in this frontier continent. We are pretty excited about our opportunity. We recently had an Africa meeting right here in Northern Africa. I really liked what I saw. Lots of growth opportunity for 3M going forward. So this is another growth opportunity, major growth opportunity, still relatively small. But in 5-10 years' time, this will be a major opportunity for 3M. So in a nutshell, that's how we view our business in international. We think we are executing on proven business model for success in every country that we are operating. Innovation and local commercialization continues to be a key enabler. And our diverse and high-performing local team and leadership are pretty excited about what we can do together in international. So with that, thank you very much. I'll introduce David Melin, Senior VP and CFO. Thank you very much.